percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Well, we hit the ground running in 2020, and it hasn't stopped yet. Tons of new information coming out, all sorts of fun stuff. And I'm just going to give you a rundown of what this last week surfaced in the news, because it's just been, and of course it's a broad mix. I like all the different headlines, the science, the metaphysics, the whole nine yards. The one, though, that is maybe the showstopper is a fun one. It's the UPS guy. And everybody who's got any snow, ice, anything like that around can relate. This is called the greatest delivery attempt of all time. You can find it on Twisted Sifter, or you can Google it. And here he is, backs the UPS truck up to the driveway, and you can see it's a nice ice skating rink, slick, shiny. And you can see the guy, the homeowner, at the door motioning to him. And the UPS guy said, well, he just said, or the homeowner said, I told him leave it at the end of the driveway. I would figure out how to pick it up. No. What UPS does is above and beyond. What he does, he gets to the back of his truck, uses it as leverage, puts the box in front of him, scoots the box, and kicks off with his foot, and the box goes all the way up to the house. The guy standing in the garage, and the UPS guy, thumbs up, back to the truck, and on to the next delivery, sliding back to the truck. So it's winter, and we like it. So there you go. But the headlines, there's some really cool headlines, and this has to do with where we're going above and beyond in our medical and science abilities. China, they have a robotic worm that will burrow into your brain. Now, this sounds like sci-fi, the Wrath of Khan or something like that. Okay, what it does actually is helpful. What they want it to do is to deliver a medication, a treatment of some kind to a specific area, and that's what this worm is designed on a good day, unless somebody, you know, goes in and corrupts it, technically it is designed for a good purpose. You know how that goes. It's out there. Anyway, that's one of the cool things. It's not a tapeworm. You know, it's a different kind of technology that we're getting into now that I think we're going to see some amazing just results with this. And the other thing, they're still trying to figure out what's going on with drones out in Colorado. And the interesting thing is some of the people who were looking into it from the law enforcement side have backed off, saying, well, it's not anything illegal. And supposedly, like, some sky, you know, the weather watchers, the weather sleuths are out there trying to figure out, because it's in the sky. It's not weather, but it's related. So they're trying to figure out still what might be happening. And then, of course, there's the other version. Somebody said, well, it's by all the nuclear, these are the missile sites, and they happen to be operating out there. Well, there's two sides of that. Missile sites where military might be housed, so maybe that's who's in charge of it, and they can't say because it's secret, but everybody knows, and it's a big secret. I just find that fascinating. The interview with an accidental exorcist I posted on my Facebook page. You'll have to find that one yourself. And then my favorite story from 2019, the bubbles. The universe is made of tiny bubbles containing mini universes. This is my world. This is what it's like. And I posted something about an experience that I had at work where there was a bubble of something that happened I have no explanation for, and yet it happened, but that bubble shouldn't have been there. And now the universe, if it's like this, tells me that that's exactly where it should have been. So I'm speaking in code. My guest, I'm hoping, can follow, because she's just as quirky as I am, and she's been doing all sorts of fun things in St. Joe. If you need a medium, if you need somebody to check out whether your house is haunted and then help clear it if it is, then you might want to check out Marianne Podrowski. Marianne, good morning and afternoon,
good morning,
and evening,
Wendy.
Depending on which bubble
yes.
we're in.
Well, I'm in the morning bubble right now.
Okay, good. Hey, you.
Yeah.
You sent me some really excellent pictures of places where you've gone and taken ghost photos. And this isn't like the little misty, foggy thing. There's one that has an outline of a person behind mm-hmm. you. When did you discover you could do that?
I've been actually chasing around spirits in different forms for over 45 years. And I realized that I could actually communicate with them when I was in my late teens. Before, I used to do dream things. I mean, I would go to sleep and have these vivid dreams, and they would either come to pass or it had a message in it for me. And when I started really getting inside my own head, I realized it was kind of crowded in there. and that really their spirit energy is everywhere. It's just you have to choose to tap into it. And people like me are kind of a conduit, like a moth to a flame kind of thing. And I've just been doing it forever, it feels like.
Well, and I think that that suggests tenure. It also suggests that you've had a chance to work out some of the kinks. I mean, when you first get started or you first realize you have these abilities, it can be overwhelming.
Absolutely. It's like standing in a crowd and people keep talking louder and louder and louder until you know who it is you need to tell to shut up. You know, it's kind of, you have to pick and choose what you're getting and realize whether it's for you or for someone else. So it can be kind of confusing, but it's a lifelong process, really. I don't think you ever become totally expert when dealing with spirit energy. I think you just have to roll with the information that you get.
Well,
and hopefully find exactly where it fits.
It sounds like you've carved out several niches, though, with your background, because you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't remember the laundry list offhand. You're also a Reiki practitioner.
Yes, I'm a medium and a clairvoyant, a Reiki practitioner. I'm also an ordained minister. I do spiritual counseling. I do home cleansings and dream interpretation, and I give readings individually and in groups. So I just kind of dabble with whatever energy I can draw.
Well, and it seems you like to travel to places that are haunted to stay there and kind of, I don't know, give the ghosts a hard time.
Sometimes I do, yeah. Sometimes you got to shake them up a little bit. Normally I come from a place where it's extremely respectful because I'm in their environment. They're not in mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like when I spend a lot of time at the Crescent Hotel. It's actually my favorite haunt on the planet so far. And I just basically tell them I'm back and let's go. And they're very receptive to me. More often than not, spirits are receptive to me. If they hold back, it's because they're afraid or they have low energy or it's just not a message I'm meant to get.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I'll get it. And when we travel, we never stay any place that's not haunted. I have standards. I have standards. And actually I gravitate towards the history and the hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a history junkie. And anytime I go any place that's really, really old or has a long and colorful history, there's always something there, even if it's just residual energy. That's a big deal if it can hold energy that long.
Well, I was not really aware that I traveled to places and stayed in hotels that were haunted until the activity kept happening in different hotels. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Is this me or am I, you know, are they already there? And then when we stayed in the Sagebrush Inn in Taos, and my dog was there too, and whatever was in the room scared her. Mm-hmm. She tried to crawl up under the bedspread mattress and get him to hide. The TV came blaring on, and then I remembered in the middle of the night that I had an arm over me and thought it was my husband, and I realized the arm had was a very hairy and larger arm. It wasn't his. I'm like, oh, wow.
Oof.
So some of these things, yeah, I know.
The hairy part would get me, I'm sorry.
Well, it was just, you're half awake, half asleep. I assumed I knew who it was, but I remembered opening my eyes, and thank goodness I did, because that's when I put the clue together, and then he was also in the wrong position of the bed, too. He wasn't facing me. So those are the kind of things, just, you know, the tip of the iceberg that I was getting, figuring out, there's more going on here, and I need to figure out what's happening and why I'm how I'm able to tune in. We're going to take a break. I want you to come back when we talk, because there was an article in this St. Joe News Press And I think I get the name of it here, but I want you to talk about your mom and your grandmother. It's Wendy's okay. Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. My guest has a jack of all trades. She wears many hats. Marianne Podrowski. Podrowski. Did I say that right? Podrowski.
Well, you're pretty Podrowski. There you go. You got it. You've been working at this for a while.
I've been practicing. It's just a matter of making that practice actually work.
It is a name, isn't it? And my maiden name isn't any better.
Okay, well, good. We'll stick with that one. And for right now, it's just Marianne. So,
yes.
Okay. That, when you're going to the hotel, you said that you have standards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it has to be haunted.
Yeah.
And they have to behave?
If we stay at newer places, the energy is just completely different. And you're just reading the land more often than not. But a historical place has so much that goes with it, and there's a lot that goes on in hotels. It's everything from people going there to commit suicide, to accidental deaths, to heart attacks, and things like that. And then you have the people that come through for various things, weddings and things like that, and they all leave a little bit of a fingerprint
mm-hmm.
behind.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you'd say the Crescent is your favorite.
Oh, my God, yes, yeah. I've got several other hotels, but the Crescent is my favorite. I've never stayed there and not had an experience.
Okay.
And, of course, it's world famous. It's been on all the TV shows and everything. And,
how about the Stanley?
I have not been to the Stanley because they won't let you do an open investigation now.
Oh, okay.
They control that. And they used to have big events there with all the famous people and everything.
Right.
But now they do not do that. They only do their own internal, and it would be a lot harder for me to show up there and just do what I do. I'm not sure if that would fly with them.
Well, you don't have to say anything. I went there, and I tell you, they sing. The ghosts sing. Because I was with a friend who didn't believe any of this, and that's fine. When I went in, that he asked where the restroom was, and the ghost told me. And I said, down the stairs to the left. Whatever. And
mm-hmm.
and he goes, there it is. I thought, oh, okay, we're communicating. So I started listening. And mm-hmm. Mrs. Stanley plays the piano. And
Yes, the
person who was there was sitting down at the piano and said that she would tell him what to play, and she didn't like very many people on the piano. But when I left, there were other things that happened, too. They sang, and the song was Good Night, that one from, this is a Lawrence Welk show that my grandmother used to watch years ago, Good Night. Sleep tight till we meet again, whatever. There's it's the bubbles in the wine. I'm like, until we meet again. And I'm like, wait. I'm not coming back here. I was surprised, but they were singing. And so I don't think, I think that if you're connected, Marianne, there's no way they wouldn't talk to you. I mean,
absolutely. My only thing is that I've got all these expensive and very complicated toys. And
once you
start bringing out the toys, it's really you're telling on yourself.
Yes, yes.
So, if they may want to control their information, and that's fine, but I would have to be definitely on the down low. My favorite times to roam around are in the middle of the night because it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And early in the morning. But you can get anything at any time if you're receptive enough and if they want to communicate with you. So
the article in the news press, I wanted to get to that because that talked about when you were 4 years old and knowing that this was something that you could do. But you also got a really powerful message. So could you explain some of that?
Okay. When my earliest reminder to myself, really, it's part memory and then it's part figuring out something was different. It was a thing where I could dream that I was flying.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was dreaming. Now I know it's something else, but I could feel my fingertips touch the leaf tops on the trees, the very tops of the trees, and feel the wind on my skin. And I woke up one morning and had an orange leaf in my bed. And I thought, wow, okay, that's for my dream. Well, I was a little kid. I mean, I was in kindergarten, and it made no sense to me, but it did make sense to me because I was a kid.
Yeah.
I hadn't been told that stuff doesn't happen.
Right.
And I had this orange leaf and was seriously excited about it. Couldn't wait to tell my mother, put it on my bedside table, marched off to Catholic school, you know. Well, that was kindergarten, but I marched off to that right before Catholic school and came home and my leaf was gone. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the only thing I had to prove it. And it before long, I realized that there was so much stuff that you can't prove.
Yeah.
So I buttoned it up.
Yeah.
You know, my mother always told me I had the best imagination of any of her kids. And I thought it was really vivid dreaming and imagination. I didn't realize till much later that when you are flying in your sleep on a consistent basis, night after night, that you're actually astro traveling. And when I started becoming aware enough to feel myself come down hard in a landing, so to speak, then I got it. I did some research. It was like, holy hell, I've been doing that. Wow, that's awesome. Okay. And then, but I kept a lot of things to myself because it wasn't really mainstream in my family.
Well, you know, at that time, I don't think there was any mainstream with this because this is the most, I think, open that I've experienced in decades, the being able to talk about things like astral travel and out-of-body stuff, because other people who have been who had kept silent about it, like Robert Monroe back when he was doing this thing full tilt in the late 70s and 80s, that's just when it got started into being some kind of a maybe reputable experience and credible experience. So it's been a while that before we could even talk about it and compare notes, because it's huge for people like you who remember doing this. I remember doing it. My husband remembers doing that, the astral travel and having feedback and saying, this is what I saw and this is where I was. And those things are huge because it's a way of saying this is a tangible reality that we are engaging and we are able to get these abilities and work on improving them. So with that, You realize that, okay, you're doing this. Where did you go from there once you felt more comfortable dealing with this?
Well, I also had some telekinetic abilities when I was little. You know how you, you're kind of lost. I was lost in my own head a lot because there was so much stuff that I couldn't prove or put my hands on or understand. But I realized that I could make certain things in my bedroom, like my closet door. I could make it the door wiggle just a little bit and unlatch, but it hurt my head. It just killed my head. I got these, I started having migraines. So I thought, well, let's taper that crap in and do something else, you know, and then, let's not do that. Let's think about something else.
Yeah. And, plan B.
I've had some telekinetic experiences ever since then, but it was, with cooperation from spirits on the other side. It wasn't all me. Because it's a lot of brain. A lot of brain waves involved.
Okay, so when your grandmother, later on in life, you had a really important connect, and this was a telepathic or intuitive message you got.
I didn't realize until much later in my life, well, I was 23, I think, when my grandmother died, and then my aunt finally told me that my grandmother had the ability to communicate with her deceased son. He had died when she was 10 years old, and I was like, why didn't you people tell me this? And they thought it was her emotions. They just thought that it was the fact that she could never really get over it, you know. They thought she was dreaming. I do not believe that at all.
Yeah.
And she spoke broken English, and what she could tell me was that he was just as real to her when he was dead.
Okay, we'll take a break. But that I want to get into just a little bit more because I think more people are realizing that this is another way to connect, and there's more to that story. So hang on. Okay. So Marianne Podraski.
Yeah.
I'm getting better.
You're getting it.
Okay. And if you're interested, she's local. She's in St. Joe. You can connect. And she also has Old Magic Metaphysical Arts on the Facebook page. There's just so much more to this story and so much more that is going on under the radar that we can connect to when we quiet the mind and realize, like she said, there was a whole lot of people talking. And when I finally figured out who it was, then I could tell them to shut up. Okay, well, sometimes it's us doing the talking inside our head. And that's what have to quiet down first. All right, so quick break. We're going to be back. It's Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. My guest knows all about ghosts, Reiki, haunted houses, clearing haunted houses, and a whole lot more. Marianne Podrasky. I'm close, aren't I? Podrasky.
You did very well that time. you get extra points.
Thank you. I slowed down. Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah, you can't say it fast.
No. Times. At least I can't.
No.
Okay.
Trust me.
So getting into the thing with your grandmother and your mom and finding out that they didn't tell you that grandma spoke to her son and really, you know, all that information, you didn't get it until later. And then they thought she was just making it up and it was her imagination. I've done so many interviews with people who say, this is so real. And the information that they get is stuff that only they would know. And it's comforting. And it's there's no physical body, but there's still a very genuine and a real relationship that continues.
The connection is never really broken, you know, and especially a child you give birth to, and he was sick his whole life and died when he was 10 years old. He had congestive heart problems, and he just really wanted to be a normal boy. And they thought it was her grief.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that her grief had such a hold on her that she was, you know, obsessing and dreaming. And I don't believe that at all, because she was adamant to the very end. And the thing is, between her and I, we used to just sit next to each other, and I did not speak Sicilian, but I felt like I could understand her, and the same for her. And when I was pregnant, before she died, she had her hand on my belly, and she did have broken English, and she told me that I was going to have a girl. And she pretty much told me a lot about her, and it all came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the connection of love and that energy never dies.
Yeah,
it just changes form. I think that all adds up to a definite spiritual connection that she had with her son. And I believe me as
mm-hmm.
well, because I talk to her all the time.
You didn't block it. You didn't block it. There wasn't a judgment. There was like, okay, what next?
I tried to push it down, but I find when I don't use it, it comes back to haunt me. I get sick. I've had several catastrophic illnesses, and I can't honestly say that fighting it helps that. I feel much better when I work. I feel much better when I stimulate my brain with what I'm good at and what really interests me. And actually, I have absolutely no choice. In it. I have no choice.
Okay. Well, you got a psychic tip about one of your health issues that I think is a real key that we still have those connections, that they're looking out for us in that other dimension.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You're referring to my mother.
Yeah.
My mother had many health issues over her life and eventually died from Alzheimer's, where she could not communicate at all, but I still had her in my head, thank God. And she had breast cancer, was one of her illnesses, and it was on the left side. And I hadn't done a breast exam for a long time because I'm stubborn. And I guess I thought it wouldn't happen to me, you know, like most women. And then I realized, yes, it's going to happen to me because I feel it. I feel it that it could and it would. And I was laying in bed one night, and she hollered in my ear. My mother didn't holler, but she hollered in my ear right before I went to sleep, just do it.
Mm.
I took my right hand and put it on my right breast and immediately felt a pea-sized knot under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, my God, this is not right. This is not right. I turned on my bedside light, and I put a marker, a Sharpie dot on the knot. Next day, called my doctor. She said, get your butt in here.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there. She felt it. She said, this is not good. You're going tomorrow for a biopsy. So I went the very next day for a biopsy. Only what happened in the interim, I guess you'd say, there was no knot at all. There was no tumor at all on the right side, but there were two on the left.
Oh, wow.
That they found with ultrasound.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't, you couldn't even feel them.
Yeah.
But there were two. And so I definitely feel like she gave me a huge heads up.
Mm-hmm. And you paid attention. And, you took it. You you
I
responded.
Had to.
Yeah.
I had to. And another crazy thing about that was I have this cat that I all my cats are rescues. They all come to me. And he immediately felt my fear. And that cat was like Velcro on me until I went through radiation and everything. Mm-hmm. He was just stuck to my side trying to help me get through it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was a lot of love going on, you know, the furry type and then the motherly type. And my mother was with me during surgery, too. There's a story about that, too.
Okay. That's a tease.
Tease for the trap. well, she's with me all the time. I mm-hmm. mean, I can almost summon her, and I don't like to use that word, but I can almost summon her. And I was really nervous about this. I thought, what if they get in there and it's even worse? Because you don't know until they actually cut you open and start mucking around in there.
Right.
And in my visions I was having when I was knocked out under anesthesia, my mother was brushing my hair. And running her hands through my hair. I wore long hair as soon as I was able to grow it out, and she enjoyed my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she was brushing my hair, and so I wake up, and I'm in recovery, and I'm almost disappointed. I look over, and there's a nurse there. I thought my mother would be there.
Yeah.
And I said to her, my mom was just here, and she said, oh, no, you just woke up from surgery, and everything's okay. And I said, no, my mother was here. I reached up in my hair, and there was a purple barrette in my hair.
Ah.
And I said, oh, my God, she was here. And the nurse said, how did that get in your hair? Who did that? That's not supposed to be in your hair. And I said, that was my mother. And I carry that purple barrette around with me everywhere I go now.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, because it symbolizes that no matter what, she was with me. And right there physically next to me, and my father was running interference in the hallway to keep all the other dead people away from me, because the hospital is like a runway.
I know, yeah.
It is a runway.
It's
for
very, yeah,
spirit.
Very, very active, very active. And I don't, you know, a lot of people don't pick up on that, but man, that's traffic, high traffic.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to take. And when I went for my radiation treatments, it was hard to take because there were all these people walking around, these poor, sick people. And I knew some of them were not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had other spirit with them. And it was like, it was torture going to my sessions, my treatment sessions because of that.
Well, part of it, too, is that, at least in my experience, they would like you to get a message, you know, from point A to point B. The problem is point B doesn't always believe in the message. And so it's really, you know, you're between a rock and a hard place of you can't interfere. And,
no.
You know, and that thing is, there's a lot of, I think, emotion and energy that goes with that, knowing that, and it's not that everybody is going to have a negative outcome. It's just there's a lot of spiritual support all different ways. Like your mom was there to support you, to help you recover. And that's what the other spirits are there in a lot of cases as well, you know, helping, saying, okay, jumpstart, boost. It's energy.
Oh, yeah. 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 I find that they try to help us a lot more than we even realize. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're throwing it out there. Not all people can pick it up. Not all people are meant to pick it up. You know, we're still left to our own devices to make our own decisions.
Yeah,
spirit doesn't force you to do anything. But if you've ever had someone that you really, really love mm-hmm. and that you really felt a soul connection with and they pass on, if we realize that they're not really totally gone.
Yeah.
It's not only a comfort, but it opens the door to receiving messages. You don't have to be spooked out and all woo-woo-y all the time to be able to get the message.
No, I got grandmothers too, and that's exactly what happens. Okay, we're going to take a break because I want to come back and you mentioned something while we were off the air about the Ghostbusters and, you know, those demons are everywhere. So let's just come back and address that real quick. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
It's again, this is kind of all across the board talk here with Marianne, who does a lot of different things aside from looking for ghosts and staying in cool haunted hotels. So if she's been there, then she's, you know, that's a validation that the place is really haunted because she doesn't. Those are her standards.
I have to have my dead folks.
Okay. So there you go. We're going to come back and talk with more dead people or about more dead people or something along that line. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. The thing about the TV shows, you know, with all the ghosts, ghost hunters, and, you know, whatever form it comes in, is that a lot of times it's camp. And it is, I hate to say, I won't say it. Okay, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Okay, so a lot of it, and I had an invitation to do a show, and I had the dream, this vision dream, and they put me in the dream on a slanted table. The table was not straight, not on a solid foundation, and that was my clue that this show was going to be one of those that was kind of fictionalized to make it extra scary and relevant. The people were going through an absolutely frightening for them, really, really scary experience. They didn't need to amplify it, so going there even stirred it up more. Anyway, so that's my experience, and I said no.
Well, you know. I've been interviewed before, and because I told them that I was not afraid, my interviews were, you know, well, we need, you know, we really want stories about when people were afraid.
Spooky.
And I said, well, I can't say that I wasn't kind of, you know, freaked out for a minute, but you have to get a hold of yourself, because really, I'm not an amateur, and it's been a long time since anything's made me scream. You know, actually, I can honestly say I've only screamed once or twice, and that was when I got pinched on the butt. But, yeah. You know,
That was provoked.
That'll do it when you can't see who's doing it. But, you know.
Well, even when you can.
I have to say it was highly entertaining, but it's not exactly something that you want all the time.
Okay, so for you, you know, when you see people doing these shows, I can't watch them just because I know how much fiction is part of it. And I believe it's disrespectful because you're putting stuff out there that's totally, completely untrue and giving people the wrong impression that this stuff is always spooky and always negative. And, you know, that's us. That's where the human factor comes in, where you're trying to amp it up. But that spirit energy is a completely different element in my opinion.
Absolutely. There's very, very few times that I've had anything other than maybe goosebumps, you know. And we also stayed at a bed and breakfast recently called the Bridgeford House in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and it is actually on the National Register of Haunted Places, and that's recognized by the Library of Congress. It's a real deal. And it was just full. It was like walking into that crowd, although this was a fairly genteel crowd, but we had all kinds of spiritual interaction of the human type. We actually saw spirits on my SLS camera. That's where they map out a skeleton that's so popular now. We actually saw human beings engaging in, shall we say, romantic practices.
Oh, okay.
And
they talk about that.
They weren't hurting anybody.
Yeah.
They weren't hurting anybody. They were having a lot of fun. Like, all righty then, we'll just leave you be. You know, but it was pretty crazy. I'd never seen that before. But why not? It was a bed and breakfast.
That explains it.
Yeah. But it's everywhere. I mean, all you have to do is be open to it, and it's there. Especially if they can prove that it's there, then that's the place I'm going to gravitate to.
Okay, so that's a recommendation there.
Yes, it is. The Bridgeford House in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
All right.
It's a beautiful bed and breakfast, and it's even for sale right now. So if you want to buy a haunted bed and breakfast, you might look into that.
Oh, man. Okay, so my question is, how do you sleep in places like that? Because I don't want to go there for that very reason. They wake you up, or me. They wake me up. How do you sleep?
Well,
or do you sleep? You're just going to investigate.
I'm always sleep-deprived in a place that's really haunted.
Okay, see, that's the deal.
Always.
Okay.
I'm a poor sleeper anyway, but, you know, I would rather lose sleep that way than just tossing and turning and not being able to get comfortable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I have to basically tell them, you know, it's time for me to sleep. you know, shut it down. And I even, I know it sounds campy, but I even take a little sign with me when I travel. One side says the psychic medium is on duty. The other one says the psychic medium is not on duty. Please do not disturb.
Yes, and that's real. That's real. Yeah, you kind of put the barrier boundaries out and say, okay, I need some peace. Chill. Just part
it's
of it is they're
all
so
about grounding.
Well,
grounding.
They're so excited because there's somebody who's finally who connects a lot of times, and so then you get that constant poking of hey. And
well, living people communicate. Why wouldn't dead people communicate? You know. If they've all got something to say, living or non-living, I just find the non-living infinitely more interesting.
Well,
I suppose.
Yeah, it just depends on where you're at.
Yeah,
it depends on how much trauma has happened there.
So. Well, and I'm a graveyard girl too. I love graveyards, and people think that graveyards are terribly haunted. There is spiritual activity in them, but generally, dead people gravitate towards the lived places where there's living people to draw their energy in order to manifest. And there's not a whole lot of living energy in the cemetery unless their people are coming there to visit.
Right.
And I do think they check in to see, you know, has anybody put flowers on here? Or here's mom, and, you know, let's let mom know we're here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a reunion.
Well, they're following the people. And like you said, that's the one thing I had recently. Somebody had a ghost that was in their house and asked if the ghost could travel with them because they were kind of attached to the ghost. The ghost is attached to the space and the memories and the connection of that area, so the ghost didn't plan on leaving. But one of the things the ghost did say was, I can't continue connecting in this an intimate fashion because it takes too much energy. And that was so, you know, when you're voicing that, that's exactly what they said in terms of, you know, the contact that was happening, that it was taking too much energy. And so from there, I think they were closer, that ghost was closer to going ahead and moving on because of some of that.
It's, the battery drain is a real thing.
Yeah.
I've had a 7-hour battery, auxiliary battery, one of those big heavy suckers, die in a matter of 15 minutes because there was so much pull from it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to these places and I investigate or actually do a haunted event, which I do every year, several haunted events, then it's like I better take a boatload of batteries. So
we got to give your name. Let's give your number out because we got to wrap up here. But just so your book's solid, all right?
Yeah, that would be good. I like to stay busy.
My phone
number is 816-261-6678. And that's my cell phone. That's my business phone. And I can be reached there or on Facebook on my Old Magic Metaphysical Arts page.
Okay. I want to see some of this hardware you're talking about because this is fascinating. The closest I got was like an orb necklace. You know, this orb necklace that lights up. Oh, not an orb. It's a ghost detector, and it lights up with a certain color. They've got the regular size and the mini case. The regular size is about $80. I'm like, wait a second.
I need one of those now.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Shoot,
so there you go.
I'm jelly.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll connect. I'll give you the link. And
that'd be great.
You can test drive it. Anyway,
that'd be great.
Marianne Podreski. Yeah? That close?
That's good. You did good. You did good. By the end of this thing, you'll be able to spell it, too.
Oh, no. Let's not go there. Hey, you. We'll connect again, okay? Because there's a...
All right.
There's more than just the ghosts. It's the energy, and it's around us, and it's nothing to be frightened of. It's more or less of, if you can do it, figure out how and why, so you can connect more dots to the next level. Like I said, the ghosts of the Stanley Hotel were laughing and joking and singing. it's an interesting way.
I think they enjoy us just as much as we enjoy them, really.
I agree. Marianne, thank you. Thank you.
And
thank you for listening. We're going to put this on the podcast link too as well. So till next time, stay curious. See ya.